Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. I wonder if you've ever been in a bad storm at sea. One of my friends was returning from Norway once when her ship was caught up in a terrific gale. I remember her telling me about the chaos on board, the screams of fear, the children crying and all the seasickness. But the one thing that stuck in her mind, she said, was that people, all strangers to one another, had gathered together all over the boat in small groups to pray. Now, you don't often see that on board ship, do you? It must have been some storm. This morning, are we experiencing a storm in our lives? Something making us worry so much that we have sleepless nights? Today's Gospel describes the panic and distress of Jesus' disciples on board a small fishing boat. So there may be lessons we can all learn from exploring the story. But first, let's hear the beginning of a song connected with it by Stuart Townend. It's called The Man Who Calmed the Sea.
See the stricken boat as it is tossed upon the sea. Hear the fearful cries that wake the man from Galilee. He stands before the raging, speaks peace and harmony. Winds and waves obey. He is the man who calmed the sea.
Our reading today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 22. One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing!" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water? And they obey him?" The first thing that strikes me about our Gospel reading today is that it was Jesus' idea to set off across the lake that day. He knew where he needed to be, and he was the one in charge. He was the one who plotted the course of their journey, and he was with them in the boat. When we begin each day, we never know what the outcome will be, whether it will be stormy or plain sailing. But we believe as Christians that Jesus has promised to be with us wherever we go and alongside us in our troubles. He reassured his disciples before he went back to heaven with the words, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Here's a lovely hymn sung by Catherine Crossweller, and it's called "I Will Be With You."
Go now
There's no doubt that the disciples panicked, all of them, and there were fishermen among their number. Being used to stormy waters, were these seafarers more in control of themselves than the others? Or were they even more afraid because they knew just how dangerous a storm could be and what the consequences might be? No one turned to Jesus as they saw the storm advancing upon them across the waters. No, they waited until their boat was swamped before they woke him. Are we constant in prayer? Do we resort to it only when we're in trouble or difficulties? Or do we leave it, like everything else, to the last minute? If we were more centred on prayer, we would have calmer minds. We would be better prepared for any eventuality. We wouldn't make foolish or speedy decisions in the heat of the moment. And we certainly wouldn't go around capsizing boats. Let's listen to a lovely hymn all about prayer. Prayer through the day. It's called The Litany of the Hours, and it's sung here by Stuart Townend.
With every morning I will kneel to pray, to be a blessing in this coming day. In everything I say and everything I do, to holy honor you. Day to give my full attention to the ones I'm with. Be mindful of those things around and those within, and fully enter in. Teach me the wisdom of remembering, and give me the wisdom to forget. Lead me, oh, teach me to live each day for you. And in the evening, as my thoughts return, this passing day let me remember well, so that no bitterness takes root within my soul. Help me to let them go. Teach me.
And so the disciples, in their fear, woke Jesus up shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." In other words, "Our lives are in jeopardy. Wake up and tell us what to do. Do something, we're going to die." Cries of desperation like this give us permission to get real with God in our prayers. It seems it's okay to say things like, "Don't you care, Lord? Are you asleep? You haven't answered my prayer yet. Lord, why? Why did that have to happen?" Psalm 88 is an example of this, where the psalmist is pouring his heart out to God, indirectly accusing him of not listening, saying, "Why do you hide your face from me?" But the very fact that he is still addressing God shows that in his heart he still believes. Here is Psalm 88 set to music, and it's from my album Call to Serve, and it's called "Are You Listening, Lord? Are You There?"
Are you listening, Lord? Are you there? Are you listening, Lord? Are you there?
But I cry to you for help, O Lord. Yes, I'm crying out to you, O Lord. Day and night, night and day, all I do is pray.
Are you listening, Lord? Are you there?
My soul is full of trouble, and my life's a living hell, and I've got no strength, I am dying. The darkness is my friend, and all my hope is gone. I've nowhere else to go. So I cry to you for help, O Lord.
listening, Lord, are you there?
And I can sink no further now, I've reached an all-time low. The waves close over me, I am drowning. And I'm all on my own, and all my friends have gone. There's no
So the disciples were so filled with fear that they woke Jesus up, and he took command of the situation and rebuked the wind and the waves like a teacher would do to a very noisy class of children. Immediately the wind and the waves settled, and all was still. There's part of a well-known poem by William Ernest Henley which reads, "It matters not how strait the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." In this poem, he claims that we are the ones who should have full control of our own lives. Perhaps he's right to some extent. Yet here, in this story, when Jesus takes the helm in life, we can rest in confidence that all will ultimately turn out well. An English mystic from medieval times called Julian of Norwich, who died in 1416, once wrote these words, "All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, for there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go." Shall we listen to the celebration choir singing, "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go"? There's a story that Robert Louis Stevenson once told of a storm which caught a seafaring vessel off a rocky coast. The wind and waves threatened to drive the boat to its destruction. In the midst of the terror, one daring passenger, contrary to orders, made his way across the ship. Groping along a passageway, he found the pilot house. There he beheld an intriguing sight. The ship's pilot was lashed to his post. Secure against the raging elements, he held the wheel fast, turning the ship inch by inch once more out to sea. The pilot saw the watcher and smiled. The daring passenger found his way below deck where other passengers were huddled. Encouragingly, he said, "I have seen the face of the pilot," and he smiled. "All is well." This reminds me of a song, a popular song, which has the chorus, "The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying, you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me whenever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all." Here's Ronan Keating with "When You Say Nothing at All."
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. You hold me near, you drown out the crowd. Try as they may, they can never define what's been said between your heart and mine. The smile on your face lets me know.
The lake on which this boat was sailing was known as the Sea of Galilee, a large freshwater lake which lies below sea level between two ranges of high hills, making it susceptible to sudden violent storms due to the fierce winds, which are caught up and compressed and which come hurtling down from the heights. Storms in this region can stop as abruptly as they begin. But this stilling of the storm occurred at the precise moment of Jesus' command to be still. That's what amazed his disciples. They marvelled at his authority. Who was this man who could command the very forces of nature? It's a question we're still asking today. Who is this Jesus? An old hymn describes him as the anchor that holds us firm in the storms of life. I have such a clear memory of my mother and grandmother singing these words many years ago now. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Here it is from the NBA Big Sing at Easington.
Thank you.
then can we, who sometimes find ourselves tempest-tossed in life, find the peace we're looking for? Let me tell you one more story. I once heard of two artists who were asked to illustrate peace. Each was assigned the task of depicting a peaceful scene on canvas. The first artist drew a beautiful picture of a countryside on a warm spring day. A soft sun illumines green grass. A picturesque farmhouse and grazing cattle are bathed in its warmth, and a farmer walks contentedly behind strong plough horses, making his field ready for spring planting. The picture was one of beauty and quiet tranquility. The other artist took a different approach. He drew a majestic, rugged cliff. Gnarled trees twisted by years of violent winds jut from the craggy mountainside. Dark clouds hang low and fierce, while jagged streaks of lightning slash across an angry sky. The picture is one of violence, chaos, and rage. But as one looks closely, something else becomes visible. There, in one of the crevices of the rocky mountain, tucked back just out of reach of the wind and rain, a nest with two small birds. Apparently unconcerned about the impending storm, they appear calm, cozy, and peaceful as they patiently wait for the turbulence to pass. This is what it's like knowing Jesus. Storms in life will abound. None of us is exempt from them, but we will find peace in trusting him. I asked myself a question this week. Where was I on that fishing boat at present? Was I one panicking or throwing myself into work like those who were bailing out? Was I moving in to wake Jesus up? No, I decided that I should hold on to the sleeping Jesus at the far end of the boat, and there I would be safe. But then I got a sense of him saying back to me, "No, I'm the one that's got a hold of you. Stop being afraid." What is Jesus saying to you through his word today? I do hope you've experienced some measure of peace as you've listened to the program today, and I'm going to finish with that much-loved hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The words are so appropriate. It's sung here by Paul Bellocci. Bye for now.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Sorrow share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a